Well, if you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Today we're going to be in Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Also a little bit of time in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The title of today's sermon is, What God Can Do With a Fish. Boy, what God can do with a fish. Fish can be a huge blessing in the kingdom of God. If you've read many of the stories in this Bible, you'll see lots of them have to do with fishing. There was a time Peter let down his net, and he wasn't catching anything. God said, hey man, go back out there, put it down on the other side. And what happened? Tons of fish were in that net. There was a story about 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that was pretty amazing what God did with just 2 fish. And today we're going to talk about what does God do with just 1 little fish. Just 1 little fish. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 17, and we'll start though in Philippians 4. I want to share a familiar verse that we all know, but this is kind of what the center of the sermon really is about. Philippians chapter 4. If you look at verse 19, it says this, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for us being together today. I thank you, God, for us being a family of God. Somebody that loves you, Lord, worships you, wants to be with you, Lord. God, I pray that as these truths are preached out of your word today, God, that the Holy Spirit would just use me as a vessel, God. Lord, that you would touch each one of our hearts in the ways that we need to understand your word, God. And we would come in one way, but we'd leave a different way, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand these words, that you will supply all of our needs. Not we will supply all our needs, but you will, Lord. Help us, God, to understand these truths, to see them in Scripture, and to write them on our heart and put them into action this week. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, but we thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins so that someday those that believe and have called on the name of Christ will be in heaven with you and our loved ones. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God will supply all our needs. Many people have heard that. Has anybody heard that before? Yeah, everybody should raise their hand on that. Everybody's heard that. We've all heard the verse. We've heard it taught in different Bible studies. We've heard it referenced in sermons. You may have even heard that verse texted to you or sent over to you in Facebook because you were going through a tough time and a friend was trying to encourage you. But that verse is everywhere. God will supply all our needs. The question is, and don't answer this yet, but the question is, do you trust in it? Do you trust in it? Do you feel it's true in the life that you're living today? Do you feel like God is truly supplying all your needs in the life you're living today? Not all your wants, but all your needs. And I ask this because I know some people in our congregation, we're going through troubles, right? There's some people that have anxiety in their life. They can't sleep. There's people that are struggling with depression. There's people that are going through health problems that they're concerned about. We have people that are dealing with big issues, big decisions coming up soon, court issues, all kinds of different concerns. And so the reason I want to bring them up at the beginning of the sermon is not to drag your problems into the church, but to leave them in the church, to leave them with the Lord. Amen. Can God supply all your needs? That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Can he supply all your needs? Will he supply all your needs? So I want you to think about that as I preach the message today. So in Philippians, Paul starts out in Philippians 4:6 like this. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So he said, don't be worried about anything. Come to God when you're worried about something. Okay? And then just 13 verses later, he comes up with this scripture that says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So as I was praying this week, and I was thinking about some of the struggles that we're going through in our church, our families, our loved ones, the Lord led me to the perfect scripture to be able to exemplify those things in Philippians that we just read. We're going to take a look at an interesting miracle, one that you may have read before but may have glossed over. And we're going to see how God supplies the need, teaches a great lesson, and shows that relationships are more important than people's rights. So it's going to be a neat study. Just in three verses, God is going to show us all those things. So if you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 17, 23 through 24 says this. Or sorry, 24 through 27 says this. When they had come to Capernaum, those who had received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Did your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Well, yeah." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon Peter? From whom do you, think kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "Well, from strangers." Peter said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take your fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you." Interesting. So Peter must have shook his head. All this stuff is going on. Peter comes back. They've had quite an exciting day. And they come back, and the first thing somebody wants before they even get settled is money. Temple tax, holding out his hand. Like, first thing, not even getting settled in, somebody wants some money. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You've been doing something all day, come home, and the first thing your kid wants is some money. The first thing your wife or your husband wants is some money. The first thing a relative wants is some money. Like, can't we just talk and get to know each other first before your hand is sticking out there? My goodness, so they've experienced all kinds of amazing things over the past couple of days and weeks. And so Peter must have just shook his head and thought, of course that's what's going to happen. They barely even get into town and somebody wants money. But I can just see how Peter is trying to tell him, "Do you even understand what we've been through?" Trying to help this tax collector understand. But the tax collector, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what just happened. But Peter, James, and John, in the first verses of this chapter, they're experiencing the transfiguration. They got to see Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. That was pretty impressive. Then when they came down from the mountain, there was this boy, a boy who had epilepsy, a boy that was troubled before. This boy had such a bad case of epilepsy that they had sent him to the disciples. The disciples went and tried to heal him, but they couldn't because the disciples didn't have enough faith. But here Jesus looks upon this boy with epilepsy and he heals him right then and there. So Peter's thinking about that, right? When this person is asking him for the temple tax. Then a little while after the healing, they're walking, getting ready to go through Galilee. And in verse 22 and 23, Jesus starts telling them that, hey, there's going to be a time where I die and a time where I rise again from the dead. And so all these disciples, they're sorrowful, they're sad, they're thinking about the situation and what's going on in their life. And they have sadness, they have sorrow in their life. And all of a sudden what happens, before they even get settled into Capernaum, there's a person there with their hand out, "We need temple tax. Temple tax." It's like, "I just heard about my Lord and Savior, my Master, going to die and be resurrected again. And you're focused on temple tax." You see, this temple tax came about over 1,400 years ago. It was established by Moses. And what the purpose of it was is basically for the Israelites, when they were still traveling in the wilderness, to be able to pay an amount of money to keep that tent or the tabernacle running, to keep it going for the sacrifices, for the maintenance, for all those things. And so this was something you could read about back in Exodus chapter 30 that was included and started kind of back there. So the temple tax was important because it costs money to run things. It costs money to run a church, doesn't it? Amen. We like air conditioning and heat and all that stuff. And it costs money for those things. And so how do we pay for those? Well, with tithes and offerings. And so here these things were maintained at that time with a temple tax. If you were a man over the age of 20, well, that's what your job was. You had to pay this temple tax for the upkeep of these temples in Jerusalem. And the thing about it here is the tax was about 2 days of a person's wage. So it wasn't small, but it wasn't super huge either. But 2 days, two full days of a person's wage. So this tax collector, he approaches Peter and he says in verse 24, he says, "Does your teacher pay temple tax?" And without even thinking, maybe without even a pause, Peter says, "Yeah, sure. I mean, what do you think he is? What kind of guy do you think this is?" And so, I don't know, the temple tax guy went away at that time or what. It seems like he was still there because later they pay this tax. So anyway, he says, yeah, he pays the tax. And now he's probably thinking to himself, boy, I probably should have asked Jesus about that verse to see if he paid the tax. You know, probably shouldn't have just jumped out right there and said that. But here's what's interesting, is now he's got to go inside and talk to Jesus. What is he going to say? Like, hey, Jesus, you paid your taxes? For what, the temple of God, who I'm the ruler of? How's that conversation going to go? Or is it going to go something like this? Hey, Jesus, did you pay that temple tax? Because I don't want you getting in trouble for tax evasion. I mean, how is that conversation going to go? Well, verse 25 is awesome. Here's what it says. It says, when Peter came into the house, Jesus was first to speak. Peter didn't even have a chance to talk. He walks in there and Jesus already knew what he needed. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to know that God knows what you need before you even ask it? You know, yesterday I was working on changing the oil in Josh's car. And it would have been a blessing if Josh knew what I needed before I even asked him. You know what I mean? If I just put my hand up there and he knew, Dad needs a 15-millimeter socket. Praise the Lord, that would have been wonderful. You know, Josh is getting better, though. When I stick my hand up and it's dripping with oil all over the concrete, he goes, I think you might need a paper towel. So he gives me a paper towel. So he hasn't quite achieved the status yet, but he's learning. But how amazing is it that Peter's a little worried now because he's got to go in and talk to Jesus about, did you pay these taxes or not? And he goes in there, and according to verse 25, he didn't have to say anything. Jesus was the one who spoke first because Jesus knew what his need was. I look at that scripture and I think about all the times in my life where I go to God on my knees pleading for help, asking God for the things I need, and I don't really realize that he already knows what I need. You know, if you're in a marriage and you can complete each other's sentences, it's kind of a neat thing. And I see this as even neater than that. I mean, he knows what you need before you even go to him. So what happens? What happens next? Peter's troubled, but he knows that Jesus needs this turmoil. So anyway, what happens is Jesus goes and he says, well, I got the answer for you. And he's getting ready to educate Peter. Because now Peter's thinking to himself, why would Jesus pay temple tax anyway if he's the king? Does the king pay taxes on his own kingdom? No. And so he's kind of thinking that over. But Jesus has the answer even before he asks. Kind of reminds me of a story I read about a missionary in Zaire. I don't know if you know about this lady. She passed away, I think, back in 2016. But incredible medical doctor that went on many missionary trips, helped people all over the world. Anyway, her name is Dr. Helen Rosenberg. And she was over on a mission trip, and she was taking care of this mother that was getting ready to have birth. Now, that's a pretty exciting time when a mother's getting ready to have birth. And so this mom is getting ready to have birth. But it was a tough, tough situation. The baby was premature, and unfortunately, the mom ended up passing away. And so this doctor is trying to keep this baby in good health and trying to make kind of a homemade incubator, but really didn't have anything but a water bottle, and the warm water bottle was kind of torn. And so that wasn't really doing good. And so she didn't know what else to do medically. And so what she did is she took the little children that were there and she said, let's pray. And so one of the little girls said, Jesus, please send us a water bottle so that this little baby doesn't die tomorrow. And this other little girl says, well, Jesus, if she does die tomorrow, please send a baby doll, because so that way her sister won't be lonely. Interesting. So anyway, they're praying. They're huddled around this baby so they can give the baby warmth because there's no hot water bottle. And so they're getting down to the skin. They're holding each other as close as they can to keep this baby warm. The next day from England comes a box. And in the box, on the top of the box, is some clothes. And they're like, oh. But then there's a hot water bottle. And so the little girl gets super excited. She goes, oh, Jesus answered our prayer. He brought a hot water bottle. I know there's got to be a doll in here somewhere, and starts digging in there. And sure enough, there's a doll in there too. You know, the interesting thing is that package was sent over 3 months ago by a ladies group that knew exactly what that family was going to need on that day. 3 months ago, there was a ladies group making a little doll, making some clothes, and putting together a hot water bottle to go just for this purpose. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus doesn't just know what you need tomorrow. He knows months in advance. God is an awesome God. Amen. So if you have something here today that you're struggling with, if you've got a physical problem, a spiritual problem, a family problem, emotional issue, He knows what you need even before you ask. That's an encouragement to me. And so you're thinking, well, if Jesus knows what I need, Pastor, then why doesn't He just give it to me? Right? Wouldn't that be easy? Like, I'm in debt. I need $20,000. There you go. No problem. Oh, perfect. What would you learn? Probably nothing. You'd be there the next day asking him, I'm in debt again, $10,000. Hey, thanks, Lord. Appreciate that. So Jesus doesn't always answer by delivering. Sometimes He has us do something with it. And in this verse, He's using Peter. He's going to teach Peter something. Look back at verse 25. It says, when Peter came into the house, Jesus was first to speak. What do you think, Simon Peter, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Well, from others, Peter answered. Well, the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. Jesus was basically asking him, do you think I need to pay tax in my own father's house? But just as quickly, in the end of verse 25, he says, well, let's not offend them. Let's go and pay the tax. And so what Jesus does is He chooses not to use His rights because the relationship is more important with the tax collector and setting the example with the person. What would the world be like today if we laid down our personal rights and we served others? Think about that for a minute. How much different things would be if we laid down our personal rights and we served others instead of worrying about ourselves. That's what Jesus is trying to teach him here. That's what He's trying to show them. It would be a different world, I believe. And so anyway, I think church would be a different place if we did that. I think the world would be a different place. But Peter still needs to learn some things here. First, he probably shouldn't answer for Jesus without talking to Jesus. That's probably a good idea. Second thing he's learning is that he should probably learn that even though he doesn't technically have to pay taxes because he's a son of the king as well as being a Christian, it's important not to cause a ripple and to take care of this situation and to pay taxes. And what I've noticed is many of the situations that I really learn about in life are when we go through a tough time. Has anybody learned a good example when they went through a tough time? Yeah, many of the situations I learn about are when we go through rough times. And on Wednesday, I started out our Bible study asking a simple question. I said, what's your favorite verse or Bible story and why? And most people offered up one of their favorite verses or a Bible study or a Bible story and why. And every single one of them were encouraging verses. You could tell that that person went through a rough time, which is why they liked that particular verse. And so it was interesting. We learn things when we go through troubled times. Does anybody know who Bill and Gloria Gaither are? Yeah. If you open up this hymnal and you look at the bottom, you'll see their name on a lot of the songs that we sing in our hymnals today. Well, would you believe two fine Christian people like that would also go through a troubled time and Jesus would teach them something? Absolutely. Let me share the story with you. Billy and Gloria Gaither were going through a rough time late in the 1960s. She was expecting a child, another child story. The couple was going through some terrible problems. Bill had been seriously sick. Their music had been attacked as not being spiritual. And on New Year's Eve night, Gloria sat in a dark room, experienced a time of torment and fear. She said, I sat alone in the darkness, thinking about the rebellious world and all of our problems and our baby yet unborn. Who in their right mind would bring a child into a world like this? She was at the height of her fear, and then something happened. She said, I can't quite explain what happened in that moment, but suddenly I felt released from it all. The panic that had begun to build inside was gently dispelled by a reassuring presence and a soft voice that kept saying, don't forget the empty tomb. Don't forget the empty tomb. Then I knew I could have the baby and face the future with optimism and trust that I've been reminded that it was all worth it because He lives. And she wrote this verse, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and to feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, this dark hour, this dark time in Gloria's life became a teachable moment, and Jesus used it to teach her and draw her near and remind her of the power of his resurrection. And if you look at hymn 182 in your hymnals, you'll see back in 1971, that's when that song was published. And because he lives, many people have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And many people have been encouraged through the power of that great song. Folks, Jesus loves to teach us. And sometimes the best lessons we can learn are when we're going through trying times. So he's taught a couple of things here in verse 27 and 25 already to Peter. And now he comes to teach him the third one, that Jesus can provide. Verse 27 says this, "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him, "but so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and for yours." You know, one thing I've learned becoming a Christian is life with Jesus is never boring. It's never boring. Something crazy is always going on. And so Jesus, he wants to make a point with Peter here. He wants to remind Peter that he can provide, but Peter was going to have to help as well. So how does Jesus give the temple tax for himself and for Peter? Well, he could have just called on, you know, the tithes and the offerings for their ministry. He could have said, "Hey, Judas, come here, buddy, write a check to this guy." But maybe Judas wasn't there. So instead, Jesus, always looking for an opportunity to teach, decides to go about it a little bit different. Listen to what he says again. "Peter, throw your line in the water, and the first fish you pull out will have a coin in its mouth, and give it to them for our tax." Any of you guys ever been fishing before? You ever caught a fish with money in its mouth? It's pretty crazy, huh? You know, I looked up and did a study. If a fish actually had a metallic object in its mouth for a certain time, it dies because of the bacteria and all this stuff. So how does this fish going to have a coin that's not just any coin, but a coin that's large enough that's 2 days' wages for 2 people to be able to pay their tax? A miracle. I could just imagine. Now, Peter's a fisherman. I mean, he was a professional fisherman. This is what this guy did for a living. I can just imagine Peter walking down toward the lake. He runs into an old friend. "Hey, Peter, where are you going?" Nowhere really. But Peter, you're carrying a fishing pole. What do you plan on catching? I mean, what kind of bait do you have?" Peter says, "I didn't bring any." "What? How can you catch a fish without any bait? What kind of fish are you trying to catch like that?" "I don't know, man. You wouldn't believe it if I told you." "Well, try me out." "All right, well, the Master Jesus sent me to go fishing for our taxes. That's what I'm going to do." Nice, nice. "Well, I'll tell you what, Peter. If I ever need money for taxes, I'll come talk to you too, buddy. Have a good week." What a miracle! What a miracle. "Peter, throw your line into the water. The first fish you pull out will have a coin in its mouth. Give it to them for the taxes that we paid." Why the heck did Jesus do it this way? Because he wanted to show us that God is a miraculous provider. You may be dealing with something right now. You have no idea how God is going to provide and get you out of that situation because nothing makes sense. Well, let me tell you, folks, it doesn't make sense to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth worth 4 days' wages. It just doesn't make sense. But sometimes Jesus answers in ways that don't make sense to us. Amen?
Amen?
What an interesting way to provide for a need. You know what he taught Peter? He taught Peter that obedience brings blessing. I think it's interesting that Peter didn't question him. You know, I've told my kids to do some things that I think are pretty reasonable. But they question everything you tell them to do, don't they? That's what kids do. Like, "Hey, would you take out the trash? Does that mean like right now or in a little while? Or can I do it tomorrow?" "No, I mean, will you take out the trash today?" "Well, Dad, it's not quite full yet. You can push it down more. Will you just take out the trash?" Right? But Jesus didn't have to say that to Peter. He already had proved himself over and over and over again to Peter. But here he says, "Hey, throw out your line in the water. The first fish is going to come up. When you catch that guy, he's going to come up, have a coin in his mouth. Go pay both of our taxes with it." I would have loved to see the look on his face. Probably would have been like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Sure, send me out to do the dirty work. No, but what an absolute blessing. It just goes to show that God provides in ways that we don't expect sometimes. You know, he turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. Think about that story I told you about the missionary. They knew months in advance. Somehow, this group of ladies knew months in advance they were going to need a hot water bottle and a baby doll to save an infant's life. How does that happen? Chance? I don't think so. Definitely God. Other times, Jesus breaks the rules of physics completely, right? Putting a coin in a fish's mouth. Making a donkey talk. Raising somebody from the dead. I mean, this is the person you're asking for help. I mean, if he can do those things, why wouldn't he want to supply all your needs? Because he can. Paul knew this. And that's why he wrote in Philippians 4:19, he says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So now it comes down to you. In the beginning I asked, were you struggling with something? Is anybody struggling with something? Yeah, you're struggling with things. I asked, do you really believe that God can supply all your needs? And I hope you know that today God really can supply all your needs. He can provide miraculously in ways that you never expected. What God can do with one single fish. Amazing. Amazing. So please, church, don't limit God's power by what you think he can do or what he can't do. Don't do that. I know you know the scripture that says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But do you really understand it? I mean, he will provide all your needs. This isn't a false promise. This is a true promise. Everything in this Bible, I believe, is true. And if it says he will supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus, I believe that'll happen. So what kind of need do you have that he has to supply for you? What kind of business do you need to take to the Lord today and say, God, I've got a need that you need to supply? Let me tell you something for those of you that are doubters that don't believe that God can supply all your needs. We had a precious lady sitting in the back there, Miss Alva. I don't often see Miss Alva too shaken about many things. In the 9 years I've been here, I've only seen her shaken twice. But she was shaken up last week. She didn't know if she was going to have a heart valve replacement, stents, balloon. She didn't know what was going to happen. She came in early and talked to Shannon about it. She came up to the altar and prayed that morning about it. Then Sunday night, we all gathered around her and we prayed. And that God that says he will supply all of our needs, he healed Sister Alva.
Amen.
That's right. They said there was a blockage in there before, but when she had that heart cath, there's nothing to be found. That's the power of the Lord and Savior that you serve. Don't you tell me he can't supply all your needs, because I won't believe you. He just proved it to us last week. I'm so thankful to serve a Lord and Savior that loves us like that. And so if you have a need, no matter how big it is, come bring it to the Lord today. Don't hold it back anymore. And if you're here today and you've got a praise, you said, Jesus did something amazing in my life. I just want to come up here. My life is going great and thank him. Thank you for this ministry opportunity. Thank you for saving my son. Thank you for healing my heart. Thank you for helping me. And you just want to come on here and praise him. Come praise him. He's your God. He's here to meet with you. He will supply all your needs. What a blessing it is to have a Lord and Savior like that. Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, today, Lord, that you are a God that loves us, that knows us, knows our inner, deeper desires, God. You even put scripture together like this, Lord, for us to read and reflect, God, and to teach us so much out of so few verses, Lord. It teaches us things that we need to know, like lay down our rights and serve others. Relationships are more important than our rights. God, you teach us, Lord, that you can answer in miraculous ways anything that we have. And most of it we learn out of this, God, is that you love us, Lord, and you want to teach us. Maybe there's somebody here in our congregation today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, and they want to learn about you. Won't you have them come down and just talk to you today? God, maybe there's somebody down here that has a need, Lord, they've been trying to resolve on their own, God. They've been trying to fight. Maybe they prayed about it a little. But maybe after seeing the miracle here in the Scripture and the miracle that took place yesterday in Sister Alba's life, God, they're like, you know what? You can handle it. They're convinced and they want to come give that to you today. God, won't you hear their prayer? Lord, maybe there's someone here that just wants to come down and thank you for all the great things that you've done in their life lately. God, we just praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you